It's Bowheads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day to be alive. Every day is a gift, Father, from you. And we thank you that you've adopted us as your children through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are now yours. We are here to submit to your word and listen to your spirit and hear what you want us to do, hear how you want us to think. And Father, we ask tonight especially that you teach us how to be content. Help us understand and help us learn to be content like Paul did. To your glory in the end, Father, and to our gain, to have a more intimate relationship and reliance on you. Father, we also pray right now for our pastor and our deacons and their families. We pray for their rejuvenation during their time off. And we also pray for all those who are sick in our congregation, Father. You know their every struggle and their every pain. Let them know that we are with them in spirit, Father. And bring them back to us as soon as you can so we can fellowship together. Your will be done, of course. And Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who made all this possible. We thank you for his tremendous, unselfish sacrifice so that we could live forever with you in heaven based on his perfect work. Father, please bless this message. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us understand the things of God. It's in Christ's precious name we pray, and by the power of your Spirit we pray. Amen. All right, Godliness with Contentment is Great Gain, part two this evening. Again, my thanks to Pastor Collins for the privilege of standing behind his pulpit. Always an honor and a privilege, and really a joy to both give him a break and also to share with you what's been on my heart from the Spirit. And speaking of that, on Sunday, the Spirit gave us a whole lot to think about. And if you notice, he gave us a lot of probing questions on Sunday. A lot of probing questions. You know when a friend asks you some really private questions and you're like taken aback a little bit? And you're like, hey, that's kind of personal. You sure you want to know that? That's kind of what the Spirit did to us on Sunday. There were a lot of probing questions at our hearts. But he's our best friend. He's our Lord. And he has the right to stir up our souls and to ask us personal things. And when he does that, he's seeking greater intimacy with us. Because as we know, in any relationship, the more we open up to someone we're close to, the closer you end up getting. And the more we open up to God, the more intimate we end up getting with him. And he can get with us, getting ourselves out of the way, so to speak. So what we hopefully see through all of this is that the Spirit of Christ isn't satisfied with having second place in our hearts. That was kind of, you might say, one of the themes from Sunday. On the board, we talked about our priorities. The Spirit of Christ isn't satisfied with having second place in our hearts. He's just not. And he's going to dig and probe and prod and, you know, make us uncomfortable because he wants all of us. And he wants number one place in our hearts. Really, what we were talking about on Sunday was our priorities. Your priorities lie in your heart. That's where you really know what's number one in your life, is what you think about them in your heart. What you consider most important at any given moment of your life, and life is moment to moment, let's face it. One moment we're with him, one moment we're not, one moment we treasure him, one moment we're treasuring an idol. So life being as it is, God is looking at the motivation of our heart, which is the why. It's the why we do what we do. And he's not going to settle for less. He's not going to settle for second place. So if you want that intimacy with the Lord, which I know most of you do, if you really want that intimacy, you accept that he's going to probe and prod, and you're willing to be open and honest when he does it, like with a lot of the questions from Sunday. So on Sunday, we also talked about what we are relying on, that we're always relying on something, or if you want to use the word trusting in something, we're always relying on or trusting in something or someone at any given moment. Are you trusting in yourself, for example, your human power? Are you trusting in your country? We talked about that on Sunday. Are you trusting in Christ alone? Who are you relying on for your peace and security? What do you lean on for your security to make you feel at peace, at with confidence? Who do you rely on for your confidence? Is it yourself, your own power? Is it this country and the Constitution even? Or do you rely on Christ for your confidence? God wants number one place in our hearts. So let's turn again to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, which is what inspired our main topic of contentment. 1 Timothy 6, 6. Now, in verse 6, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Wow. That's like, that verse 9 is like a tidal wave that happens in someone's life when they keep craving riches for satisfaction. It's just, it all ends in tragedy. But we're mainly focused on being content here. And in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And we talked about on Sunday how that implies that godliness without contentment is not great gain. So you can actually be godly, but because you lack contentment, you're missing out on a great gain that God has for you. And what we're really missing out on is an intimate relationship with God as our provider. That's really what we're missing out on, that intimate place of trust that we can have with our Father, that he's going to provide every little thing we need, and the trust that if he didn't provide it, it's the best thing for us. We miss out, without contentment, we miss out on that intimate relationship with God as our provider. Just think about that. Why might we lack contentment in our lives? Ultimately, we refuse to be content with Jesus Christ as our true treasure. Again, on the board, we talked about this on Sunday, regarding your treasure. When we lack contentment with what God has ordained for us, even in the moment, we are in essence saying Jesus isn't enough. He might one day decide that you're going to be homeless, or that you have to live with someone you don't want to live with, or whatever. You can kind of pick going from riches to poverty. When we lack contentment with what God has ordained for us, even in a moment like that, we're in essence saying Jesus isn't enough. If you really think about it. So the points we discussed on Sunday that were from last week's messages were directly related to contentment and faith, and the Spirit is tying all these things in together. So let's review a few of those key principles to stimulate our thinking. On the board regarding lack of contentment, human power doesn't trust in God's provisions alone. It's not willing to give up the extras we're used to. We just talked about the intimacy with God as our provider, right? Well, when you don't trust in God alone and you trust in your human power, you're going to break that intimacy. You're going to break that. Instead of it growing, it recedes. You're not willing up to give up the extras, so you do whatever it takes in your human power to maybe keep them. And this has everything to do with what we're going through right now in our country with this COVID test, let's call it. What type of freedom are we really looking for in all of this? A key question the Spirit asked us this past week, last week, was on the board regarding wealth and power. Have you ever noticed how wealth breeds an assumption of power? And this was a general question Pastor gave us last week, but the Spirit brought it home to us on Sunday. Might this include not just material wealth, but the wealth of freedom we are used to in the United States? Is this you? Has the wealth that you have in this country gone to your head? Has it bred assumption of power in you that you even maybe deserve these things? On the board, on Sunday, we talked about taking pride in freedom. Do you take pride in earthly freedom? Has our wealth of freedom in the USA led to an assumption of power in your heart that you deserve these things? Or, as those who belong to Christ, have you fully accepted you are a sojourner and an exile on this earth? Listen, when you're visiting another land, and you know you're visiting another land temporarily, what's the phrase I'm looking for? You don't build a foundation, you don't build a house when you know you're leaving next year, right? Just think of it that way. You pitch a tent. You rent a place, right? So where's your mentality? Is it right that we're on earth? And I'm not saying you can't own a home if God bless you. You know, it's all your motivation. But is it right to pitch your tent permanently on this earth? Like you belong here? Or is that a wrong way of thinking? Again, as those who belong to Christ, have you fully accepted that you are a sojourner and an exile on this earth? And that phrase comes from 1 Peter 2, which also gives us perspective on obeying our authorities, coincidentally. So in other words, are you content with that? Are you content with Christ's calling on your life on this earth? Are you content with it being His calling and His mission? In other words, are you content and willing to give up your own life and the things that you thought your life should be about? So I hope you read 1 Peter chapter 2 on your own at home. And if not, I hope you do so before Sunday, because it has everything to do with what we're talking about in more than one way. 1 Peter 2. But in other words, the Spirit is saying, are you obsessed with temporal freedoms? It's one thing to enjoy temporal freedoms as a gift from God, even. It's another thing to be obsessed with them and refuse to let go of them in favor of obedience to God's word. Do you think you deserve them? Do you think you must keep them at all costs? Or is that stepping over the line? Or is that the ends justifying the means, as the Spirit has told us lately? For example, it's not okay to disobey earthly authorities to keep what you have because you think you deserve it. We're told to obey our earthly authorities with all respect, even. Not to obey them, you know, with a grimace in our soul, with all respect, even, and honor. Unless they tell us we can't share the gospel, that's something totally different. So a little more wisdom from our last couple messages here at NCC. On the board, Jesus, our great example. Jesus preferred to focus on spreading the gospel, despite his wealth and power as the Son of God. I mean, just think about that. We crave wealth, right? And when we're in the flesh, we crave wealth. But we usually can't get it. Or, you know, if we wanted, whatever, to own the whole city, we don't have the ability to do that, even if everything went right and even if we worked 24 hours a day. He did. He had the ability to overtake the Roman Empire like this if he wanted to and be the king of the world at that very moment, which is what Satan tempted him to do in Matthew 4. Now imagine having the actual power to do it and saying, no, I'm about the Father's plan. I'm here to spread the gospel and save people's souls. So again, on the board, Jesus is our great example in this area as well, even with what we're going through right now in our country. He preferred to focus on spreading the gospel despite his wealth and power as the Son of God. Was the government unjust during Jesus' time? A lot more than in our country right now. Were their earthly freedoms attacked and even denied to the Jews under the rule of the Roman Empire? A great deal, right? That's why all the Jews wanted to rebel against Rome, because they were tired of being beaten down. But what did our Lord do? Did Jesus react to the earthly injustices? Or did he pursue spiritual freedom for the lost? What did he do with his time and energy? And obviously, we should follow suit, right? Isn't he our example? Isn't that the Great Commission in Matthew 28? Did Jesus react to earthly injustices, which were many when he walked the earth? Or did he pursue spiritual freedom for the lost at all costs to himself? Obviously, the latter. Our Lord's ministry was about saving people's souls, not saving their earthly freedoms. He even told them, don't care about that. Leave the dead behind. Come follow me. Leave your fishing business behind. Come follow me. I'll provide, and I'll make you fishers of men. Our Lord's ministry was about saving people's souls, not saving people's earthly freedoms and possessions, which is such a waste of time if we're going to be in heaven for all eternity. As followers of Christ, that should be where our hearts go to, because that was his heart. So what do you prefer as you go through the inconveniences and even the losses from the COVID test here? What do you prefer? Which path have you taken? Which path will you take? And more importantly, what's your priority in your heart right now? What's your motivation look like? Pastor gave us some wonderful perspective from his latest blog, speaking on the lack of contentment, again on the board. From 8/14/20, the blog was, "What is this freedom you speak of?" Quote, "The person who's flipping out," talking about during this COVID test, "is missing the blessing of contentedness, because it's not for the sake of Christ that they endure, but it's for the sake of self, which is the source of their malcontent." They're trying to keep self's freedoms. You see? My freedoms, not Christ's work, not Christ's mission. And that's the very source of their malcontent. So are you worried about losing finances? Are you scared of losing your precious American freedoms? Maybe they are too precious to you, like a god to you, like an idol to you even. Or maybe you're just being selfish, as though life's all about you. Maybe your priorities are actually flip-flopped when you look in your heart. For example, on the board, this came out on Sunday too, losing earthly freedoms. What is that to you, follower of Christ? Might Jesus say that to us? What is that to you? Why do you care so much about that? Aren't you here for me? Are you an American first or a Christian first? Losing earthly freedoms, should they matter that much to us? Some of us have elevated the things of this world to the level of the things of God. May it never be. Read Colossians 3. the things above, the things on earth. There's no comparison. And some of us, because we've been born and bred that way, as Americans, for example, some of us are captivated and controlled by the things we have in this country. And we haven't even realized it because we're so used to it. So the Spirit is definitely kind of challenging us to wake up and see where our hearts lie. Let's hold on to this thought and consider a couple more precious points from our recent lessons. On the board from last week, human power versus faith. Human power versus faith. The exertion of human power or solutions is indicative of a lack of faith. That's really the problem. When you're operating in human power to fix things or keep things the way they are, it's indicative of a lack of faith. And it comes from fear. As we talked about on Sunday, fear is the opposite of faith. So why are we afraid? Why are we afraid of losing our freedoms or possessions in this life? Do we treasure our freedoms in this country so much that we fear losing them and are willing to keep them at all costs? Or should we rather treasure the fact that we have the privilege to spread the Lord's gospel and focus on that? Who are we that he even enlists us in his army, so to speak, and gives us this job? Who are we that we are even have the right, the privilege, whatever word you want to use? Who are we to have the chance to do this? To have eternal impact and to bring glory to God as sinners snatched from the fire? Who are we? Do we take that for granted? That privilege of the Great Commission, the privilege of spreading the gospel? I think we do. But you decide, you pray about it and ask God to help you with your perspective if you are lacking in this area. We should be single-minded, right? Really. Single-minded on the cross, single-minded on spreading the gospel. That's like our number one objective of being still alive on this planet. And if that's not our single-mindedness, then we need to pray about it. We need to repent, possibly, and ask God to clear all the other stuff to the side and put it in its proper places. Even good things like freedom, right, in America, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, whatever. Even those good things, put them where they belong for me, Lord. Help me be truly single-minded about your objective for my life. So it's between each of us and God. As we move into our topic a little more, again on the board, regarding godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content with God's provisions, whatever he decides for you, is a great safeguard from temptations and the dangers of wealth. That's such a big point. Like, just please focus on the first half of that. Being content with God's provisions, whatever he decides for you, if you can find contentment, that is a great safeguard from the temptations and dangers of wealth, which will destroy your life in the end. I had a conversation with Nick during the week, actually, this week, about that very thing. And how if you give in to those temptations and you're chasing wealth, and even if you capture it all, eventually it goes. Like, poof. You waste it, you blow it, someone takes it. And all that extra energy and lack of following Christ ends up in futility. Read Ecclesiastes, right? But if you can find contentment, it's going to be a great safeguard against those temptations and the dangers of wealth dragging you down, even bondage to wealth of earthly freedoms in our country, which also includes rights to certain material possessions, rights, quote unquote, right? So we also talked about on Sunday, are you willing to learn to be content? Are you willing, like Paul did? Are you willing to go with the flow for your earthly blessings? Let God take care of that side of things and instead focus on the gospel and trusting God with providing just what's right for you in the moment. It could be a stack of pancakes in the morning as your only meal for the day. And somehow, some way, that's what he provides you that day. Maybe everything's going haywire in your life. Maybe you're broke. Maybe you're moving, whatever. Somehow, some way, he's going to provide you in the moment. And are you good with that? Are you willing to be good with that? Even if you're not good with that yet, that's okay. So turn again to Philippians 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, 11. I'm not sure why he brought up a stack of pancakes there. That's kind of weird. life can change so fast sometimes. Sometimes we want what we want, right? And we're not willing to go with the flow and be like, you know what? God's going to provide something for me. I may not know what it is. I may have to go by faith, but I know he's going to provide something. So I'm going to focus on his job for me, and I'm going to let him fill in all my gaps. You know? And I personally faced this test today, again, by the way, to do God's work that he placed in my path or to worry about my business and my sales. I faced that test again today, which was what we learned about on Sunday. Are you willing to let him be your provider? Or are you going to say, I got to be the provider and work extra hard? Even though he put something in my path that I think is from him, I got to work extra hard in human power to make sure I keep what I have or get what I want. It's going to be a daily test at times. But this is where God wants us, right? He wants us to become intimate with him as our provider. And that takes passing the tests and learning to be content in Philippians 4. Look at verse 11 through 13 again. Paul said, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Period. Are you willing to learn to be content like Paul had to learn? And it's for your own benefit, your own great gain. So I hope and pray everyone listening today, again, read last week's blog on freedom. It has a lot of different angles to look at. We all have to ask ourselves the question, what type of freedom are we really seeking after? So we'll leave that at that. Leave that for the blog. So back to our main topic, once again on the board, regarding your treasure. When we lack contentment with what God has ordained for us, we are in essence saying Jesus isn't enough. As from our analogy on Sunday, Jesus said to angry soldiers, take me, right? He was handcuffed. Take me instead. That, my friends, is why Jesus is our treasure and why he is sufficient. He did that for each and every one of us at the cross, and that's why nothing else compares to him. All these other treasures that we try to grab through our lives, they all come up empty because they're all imperfect. They're all earthly. But he's perfect and the only one that can fulfill our greatest desires, the only one that can lead us to true contentment. As we know, we should all be dead in the lake of fire right now because of our sins. But our best friend stepped in and took our judgment. And that dear act of love on our behalf is what motivates us to spread his good name, right? When we actually believe the love he has for us, and we believe what he did at the cross, and that he did it for us, that motivates us to be single-minded. Even though we got to work, even though we have things to tend to at home, even in those things, to be single-minded, that we're here for him and his purposes and his gospel. Amen? Back to simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So as came out on Sunday on the board regarding your loving provider, your possessions don't take care of you. He takes care of you. And that's a hard lesson to learn sometimes, especially when you get used to certain things. But your possessions don't take care of you. He takes care of you. And we're going to later on get to Matthew 6, 25 through 34. But through Jesus Christ, you have God. What more do you need? You have a relationship with a God who provides all things. How can we be looking around right to the left, worrying about our needs being taken care of? On the board, regarding finding contentment, trusting in Him alone, we will find the great gain God intends for us. That thing called contentment that we all desire greatly, don't we? Because when we're truly content, we're happy inside. We're not frantic. We're not agitated or anxious. When we're truly content, we're at peace and happiness inside. And that's the great gain God intends for His children. But it only comes when we trust in Him alone, even for our provisions. So what's interesting, what came up on Sunday, and we're going to get into a little bit more here in the second half of our message, is the Word of God specifically tells us to be content with food and clothing. It's very interesting that it doesn't even mention shelter, at least in the verses we're going to be talking about, which talk about contentment. It doesn't even mention shelter, which leads us to say that a roof over our heads is actually an extra blessing. It's really not necessary. And with everything going on right now in our country and in this world, the Spirit has asked us, are you ready to be content with food and clothing only? Are you willing to be content with that? If you're not ready for that, maybe God is preparing your soul right now. I got to talk to a older lady believer earlier today, and she was telling me about an aha moment in her life, which for her happened, I think she said, 20 years ago. And she said, I was sitting in my condo at the time and looking around, just me and God, and just thinking about life, looking at my condo, and I finally said to myself, you know what? I don't need this place. I don't even need this place to be happy, in other words. And for her, it was a great aha moment in her life. Maybe we all pray for that moment to even look at what we have right now, because we get used to it, to even look at what we have right now and say, Lord, show me that I don't need this stuff to be at peace, right, to be happy. Could you deal with it, only having food and clothing? And the question came up on Sunday, too. How can we be content with only food and clothing? How is that possible? It's possible because we have God and we have Christ, if He's our treasure, if we realize who He is and what He can do, if we have that personal relationship. So turn again to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. It is actually possible to be truly content in your heart with food and clothing alone by the power of God. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you see how it's all about Him in this passage? Again, let's read it. Keep your life free from the love of money. That implies, by the way, that the love of money is bondage, right? If you need to be free from it. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, I'll always provide for you. Do you see it's all about Him providing, not about what you have and relying on that? And isn't this verse similar to the warning we see in our main passage? Go back to 1 Timothy 6:6 again. 1 Timothy 6:6. Isn't this similar? Just verses 6 through 8. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. As we saw on Sunday, this stands opposed to the rich young ruler who wanted salvation on his own terms. And because he didn't see Jesus was the answer and the provider, he couldn't live with just food and clothing. He couldn't do it. He couldn't sell his possessions and follow Jesus. On the board, regarding the rich young ruler, he didn't see that Jesus himself was the true treasure and the way of salvation. And therefore, he couldn't be content with only food and clothing. Matthew 19, if you want to read it again, many of you know about the rich young ruler in verse 16 through 26. But he didn't see who Jesus really was and that salvation was in him and through him. He didn't trust in him as the provider, so he couldn't go forward with the Lord's request and be content with only food and clothing. But by grace, through faith, we can. We can receive that power. He didn't see that the pearl of great value was standing right in front of him and that he should sell everything he had to buy the new life in Christ. And as Pastor said recently, we're in a crisis because a lot of people think they're saved when they're not. And how do we know? Because Jesus is the furthest thing from their treasure. You will know them by their fruits. If you ask them, they might say they believe in Jesus, but you will know them by their fruits. If they could care less about him in their life, and money to them is like crack cocaine, they'll do whatever they have to get it. Well, apparently their God is money. And that's why it's scary that someone who might say they believe in Jesus is very possibly not saved. And we're in a crisis. And thank God, as I said on Sunday, for the blessing in disguise of this pandemic. Because it's bringing people to their knees to finally say that the things in the world can't be relied upon. People do whatever they can to gain more money, whatever they can, without conscience. And if you've ever worked with people like this, it's very challenging because you get challenged to go alongside them, to run alongside them. And if you say no, you get questioned for your stupidity even in their eyes. Why wouldn't you want to make more money? All we have to do is this little lie here or this little tiny deception. It's really small. And you're going to be tested every day. Beware of running alongside these people who money is their God. And you might have to take a stance. You might have to be willing to lose money, even lose a job maybe, but it might be for the sake of someone's salvation, to help them repent and believe. And thus the need to preach repentance. Turn again in your Bibles to Luke 13, 1. Luke 13, verse 1. Actually, we did not go here on Sunday, but this did come up in the message. If you see people or know people that are addicted to money, or if you are, there may very well be a need for repentance. And to look at yourself, like Jesus said, you should look at yourself. Look at Luke 13, 1. There were some present at that very time who told him, Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." In other words, the same thing's going to happen to you if you don't repent. Hopefully, the pandemic and its financial consequences will bring people to their knees to realize they're not all they think they are and discover the true treasure is Christ. I believe this is happening right now more and more, and I hope everyone listening thinks this way, opens their minds to the fact that the fields might be ripe right now for the harvest, and that people are even desperate in their souls for what's to come, for their security, for their wealth, and for true meaning in life. It's such an opportunity to spread the gospel, especially when there's times of loss facing us. It's the perfect time. So back to our quest for godliness with contentment. As believers, we've seen God wants us to rest assured in our salvation. Our salvation basically being Jesus himself. On the board, Jesus is our great example once again. Consider him. Think of him. The one who was always content with the Father's plan for him. And the one who had no place to lay his head. The same one that was content with the Father's plan for him is the same one who had no place to lay his head. In other words, he was good with it. We saw Hebrews 12 on Sunday. Turn to Matthew 8 this time, verse 19. Matthew 8:19. Consider Jesus, our great example. Think about him, the one who was always content with the Father's plan for him, and the one who had no place to lay his head at the same time. Matthew 8:19-20. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." "Oh, yeah?" Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, are you ready for that? Are you willing to be content if you have nowhere to lay your head? And that's what Jesus is asking us. Are we willing to follow Jesus in this way, if that's what he asks of us? Remember the call to be content with only food and clothing? We're going to get to Matthew chapter 6 before we close. Only food and clothing, you can be content. Even Jesus didn't have a permanent shelter, and he knew he didn't need it. He was good with that. He was content with the Father's provisions and the Father's call on his life. So are we willing to go forward following Jesus and to have no place to lay our head? What's your level of willingness to do that? What's your level of willingness? We all have different levels of willingness, right? We're at different places in our lives. What's your level of willingness? He's not saying, do you get it yet? Or he's not saying, are you content yet? He's saying, are you willing to be content with these things? Do you want to learn? Do you want me to show you? What's your level of willingness? He did it for us. He was handcuffed and taken away by angry soldiers for us. Are you willing to follow him and possibly not have a shelter while doing so? It doesn't mean he's going to ask you to give up your homes necessarily, but he's after our hearts, isn't he? So here's the point regarding finding contentment on the board. Jesus is the way to contentment. If we have Christ Jesus, we only have need of food and clothing, which are necessary to maintain our lives on earth. Right? Food and clothing, let's admit it, right? They are necessary to maintain your life. You will die without food and clothing after a certain amount of time. And God knows that. He says, I'll take care of your needs, your real needs. But if we have Christ Jesus, we can be content with only those. Philippians 4:19, we've already seen. Again, Jesus is the way to contentment. Him, his person. Not knowing about him, he is our treasure. He is the way to contentment. If we have Christ Jesus, we only have need of food and clothing, which are necessary to maintain our lives on earth. If we have Christ Jesus, we can be content with just those. As the Spirit brought out earlier, God knows if we learn to be content. Please listen carefully. This is such like a, almost like a hidden gem. I think he snuck into these lessons, right? God knows if we do learn to be content with food and clothing, we will be protected from the world's temptations and lies. Do you see how vital it is to learn to be content? Because if you're willing to learn to be content, and he teaches you that, he shows you how to be, you will be protected from the world's temptations and lies, from destroying your life and the lives of others. And you will bring the most glory to God possible with your life. It is a great protection. So let's see more about that protection in Proverbs 30, verse 7. Go to Proverbs 30, verse 7. You might remember this prayer from a man named Agur. You might not name your kid that, but after you read this, you might, because it's a very spiritual prayer. It's a very wise prayer. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Right? Some of you are thinking, okay, a mansion and a woman. Or a mansion and a man, right? What are the two things? If you had to ask God for two things, just two things, what would you ask him for? Well, look how wise this man is. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Lord, give me my daily bread. That's enough for me. Look at verse 8 again. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. In other words, I'm content with that. In fact, I know it's a protection for me. Otherwise, verse 9 will happen in my life, and I don't want to do that to you, Lord. It's a protection. This should sound very similar to part of the Lord's Prayer that he taught us. So now turn to Matthew 6, verse 11. Matthew 6, 11. Keep that in mind in Proverbs 30, what Agur just prayed for. Matthew 6, 11. What did the Lord say as part of the prayer he taught us to pray? Very simply, in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. How many of you pray for more than that? I'm guilty. Right? I'm like, Lord, give me extra. No, give us this day our daily bread. Because if you learn to be content like that, it's a great protection against the lies in the world. So this was Jesus telling us how to pray, and we need to follow this example. It's followed up in Matthew 6, verse 25. So just go down to verse 25, and let's read this wonderful passage. And I want you to pay attention. You've all seen this passage before, but pay attention to how many times food and drink are mentioned, and only food and drink. Look at Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The Lord repeatedly talked about food and clothing in this passage, and nothing additional to that, not even shelter. So are there any questions about what we really need and what we can actually be content with? If he's our treasure, then it's easy. If he's not our treasure in our heart, in our priorities, if he's not our treasure, it's difficult. But if he is our treasure, it's easy to be content with food and clothing, and he will teach us how to be so. So stop looking around at the world and instead rejoice in him. That's what the Spirit's saying. Stop looking around at the world. Be single-minded. Stop watching TV. Stop watching movies. Stop listening to movies and what they tell you your life should be like. And focus on him. Focus on the cross. Rejoice in him. And see what he does in you. On the board. This is kind of all leading up to this point on the board. Be content with Jesus. Pray to him. Sing to him. Read his word and seek understanding. Do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to know him and how he can be your only treasure in your heart? Be content with Jesus. As with everything else, he's the key. Pray to him, sing to him, read his word, and seek understanding. We're not going to turn to these passages, but these are for you to look up later on if you want to pad this principle on the board. Psalm 105, 2 through 4, Proverbs 3, 5, Jeremiah 29, 13, Matthew 6, 33 we just read, and Ephesians 5, 19. Learn how to be content with just him. For example, I just read this in a book by a man who was a pastor for 50 years. And he said every time he reads his Bible, before he reads his Bible, he sings a hymn to God. All alone, just sings a little song to him or about him or whatever, you know, in that personal, intimate relationship. And it helps him be content with just him. When's the last time you sang a song to the Lord? It will help you, as will all these things on the board, rejoice in him alone as your treasure. And then and only then will we experience great gain in our souls. Turn to, let's see, John 6. John 6, 32. John 6, 32. We're hearing how to be content with only food and clothing. But who did Jesus say our food is? John 6, 32. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the challenge before us. Are we willing to be content with him as our food source, with him as our only provider that we rely on? On the board, look at the verse on the board, Jeremiah 17, 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Whose trust is the Lord. That man will be blessed or content or happy within his soul, at peace this man has nothing to fear, even being homeless. His trust is the Lord. God takes care of this person in every way necessary, even in the droughts of life and even in the pandemics. Proverbs has taught us a lot about being content and that we don't need a lot to be content. We saw that in Proverbs 30 with Agur, right? How about Proverbs 17:1? Did we just breeze through what was implied in Proverbs 17:1? I have this on the board for you, by the way. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Looks like a dry piece of bread to me. Better is a dry morsel. Just give me a morsel of food with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. You can actually be content with just food and clothing. So that's really what we're closing with on the board regarding food and clothing being sufficient. It's when we agree with God on this, and this is a heart issue between you and God, but it's when we finally agree with God on this, when we decide to ask only for our daily bread in humility, that we learn contentment and therefore freedom from the trappings of this world. This is the point I kind of really, maybe it led all up to this, where we were talking about this before, right? The Spirit sneaking this point in on us. That if we are willing to learn to be content with food and clothing only and rely on Him alone as our provider, it will protect us from the trappings of this world that can easily ensnare us otherwise and bring us down, along with others around us, with us. Again, on the board, food and clothing are sufficient. It's when we agree with God on this in our hearts, when we decide to ask only for our daily bread in humility, that we learn contentment and therefore freedom from the trappings of this world. Let's close on that note. A lot to think about. Father, we thank you so much for your word that brings it all together for us and also brings it down to such simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. We are so grateful, Father, for your word and for your Holy Spirit that guides us and teaches us these things. And Father, we ask that you give us more faith and humility and willingness to be yours alone so that we can bring you the most glory with our few days left on earth. And Father, we thank you that you're the provider and that food and clothing are easy for you, and we trust you with that right now, Father, and that that's all we need to be content. Help us learn, Father, to be content so that we can be truly at peace with your Son alone. And help us bring the gospel out, Father, to a world that's lost and dying and doesn't understand this beautiful treasure in your Son. Father, we ask all these things based on the merits of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.